Our message for this afternoon is Signs of Christ's Coming, Part 2. The text is taken from Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 to 14. If you turn there, the scene is set in the Mount of Olives in the outskirts of Jerusalem. If we can have the slide. You see the Mount of Olives there in our map. It's a walking distance, 15 minutes from the temple. And our Lord Jesus Christ has left the temple for the last time and made his way to Jerusalem as we begin Matthew chapter 24. If you have been to Israel and to Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, you'll be able to see there is a site where the Lord's Prayer is written in many languages of the nations. And in the quiet of the garden, there in the Mount of Olives, our Lord Jesus Christ would answer the question that you see in verse 3 of our text when they ask him privately, "When shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" The next slide. So here you see the walk from there across the so-called the American colony, and there you would reach the Temple Mount, not very far away. Right. The slide before. The Mount of Olives is the place where Christ ascended to heaven 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. And it will also be the place where Christ will descend from heaven. If you would turn to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, you would see here a text that describes the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. A very momentous event that would come after the 7-year tribulation, the great tribulation. Next week we will be addressing this. And Zechariah chapter 14 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle." This is prophetic. It is an event that is coming in the near future. And Israel herself will be sifted and purified in her final struggle with the nations and will be transformed into a holy priestly nation at the second coming of Christ. The day will come when there will be a national repentance of the nation of Israel. Messiah will deliver Israel from their enemies. Messiah came the first time. Right? This is what we are reading here in Matthew chapter 24. But the Jews have rejected their Messiah. Our text tells us in Zechariah 14 that the nations of the earth will lay siege on Jerusalem, the cup of trembling. The Gentile nations would attack Jerusalem, and at that time, they would drink of the wrath of God when Jesus Christ would return with his saints to save all Israel. This is an event at the end of the 7-year tribulation. This is a picture of a timeline for us to see what we are talking about. We are speaking about the signs leading to Christ coming again. Right? The last days begin from the time Jesus was ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And we are living in this church age. Right? You see, last week we saw how Jesus had prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And indeed, in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. This is a historical fact. And from there, the nation of Israel will be scattered to all parts of the earth for the next nearly 2,000 years. But on the 14th of May 1948, nearly 70 years ago, we saw the resurrection of the nation of Israel. And since Israel's independence in 1948, she had to fight many wars to maintain her sovereignty. And this will continue until the final war, which we have read, or which we are reading here in Zechariah chapter 14. This is the war that took place in the plain of Megiddo, called the Battle of Armageddon, whereby the nations of the world would come and fight against Israel to take control of Jerusalem, the capital of the world. And today we are seeing events taking place that would be culminating to a time when Christ would have to come back and redeem Israel and the world. And before that time, you see, the rapture will take place. The church will be taken to glory. And we do not know the time when this will come. But the Lord gives to us these signs, which we have been studying over the last week. Right? Signs pertaining to false Christ, signs pertaining to wars and international conflicts, signs pertaining to natural disasters, which we said would proliferate, like a woman who is expecting to deliver a child. Right? It is called the time of sorrows, the birth pang. What is it that the world is ushering in? Well, the world would be ushering in, if you study the context of the Bible, the Antichrist. And we are in that momentous times whereby the world is preparing itself for the coming of the Antichrist. We have seen how the world has been plagued with great chaos and violence over the centuries, over the thousands of years. It is said that there has been only perhaps 150 years in the history of mankind where there is no war. And in the last 100 years, we have seen 2 world wars. The greatest calamity that has taken place in man's history, all within a very short period of time. And Dr. Wolvert said that there would be a third world war. Dr. Wolvert of Dallas Theological Seminary. I recall Reverend Timothy Toh, the late Reverend Timothy Toh, quoted him saying that there is that movement toward a third world war. Today we are seeing the key players of the nations posturing themselves. And we want, and we as believers and Christians want to be able to study and know the things which are happening around us, because they are leading to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our weekly, we spoke of the time of Enoch, how Enoch walked with God, and how he prophesied of the coming of the Lord with a thousand of his saints in his time. And how today we are so much nearer to this actual happening of these events. Next slide. If you look at the history of Jerusalem, you would be able to see the battles that has taken place to take control of the city of Jerusalem. You see it there, 925 BC, the Egyptians, 701 BC, the Assyrians, 597, the Babylonians, AD 70, the Romans, and then the Byzantines in 614 AD, and the extension of it all the way from 637, and the Crusaders in 1099, and then came Saladin, who captured the city for the Muslims, and then in 1244 BC, you see how the city was recaptured from the Christians. And then there is the Battle of Jerusalem in 1917, which involved the capture of Sinai and the Palestinian area by the British and the Commonwealth of Nations. So if you go to the place where, you know, the Garden Tomb, it is owned by the British. Okay. Then there is the 1948 War of Independence. And 1967 was the year when Israel recaptured Jerusalem. Next slide. This is a picture that I've gotten from this book, Arab-Israeli Conflict Maps. And here, it tells us about what happened during the 1967 war. Right? Israel was outnumbered by the Arabs. 264,000 troops, 800 tanks, 300 combat aircraft, versus 547 troops, 2,500 tanks, and 957 combat aircraft, three times the number. What am I driving at? Well, what we are seeing here is that there is that movement in wars and conflicts of wars driving towards that final war. And we want us to be able to watch, to see what is it that is going on in the world around us? Because it is going to fulfill Holy Scripture. The greatest event that is going to take place is the rapture of the Christian church. And the Lord wants us to know, wants you to be prepared for this eventual time. Go back the slide. One more. You see here, at the rapture of the church would come, and here we are speaking about today the signs leading to the rapture of the church. So we are seeing in the newspapers daily reports, right, of events intensifying, whether it's international conflict, whether it's earthquakes, whether it's pestilences, whether it's famines. It is culminating in this event of the rapture of the church. And the Lord wants us to be prepared, because this will be a time of separation. Enoch, the Bible says, was translated. He walked with God for 300 years after he was saved. At the age of 365, the Lord took him. He went to heaven bodily. And we could be that generation that would experience the rapture, because the signs are before us. We saw last week the false Christ, the wars and the conflicts and the natural disasters. And today we are going to see three other signs. Grievous persecution, verses 9 to 10. Prevalent apostasy, verses 11 to 13. And global gospel outreach. And the Lord wants us to observe these signs carefully, because it is culminating to the coming of what? Well, if you study scripture in its context, you find that these verses is giving us the culmination of events, signs leading to the coming of the Antichrist. The Antichrist would come and he would be ruling the world. The next slide. You see here, we are already at the tail end of the Roman Empire. Right, from 63 BC, during the time of Christ, all the way in the church age. And a time will come when the world would plunge into the 10 toes, the 10 kings that would arise, and out of them, the Antichrist would arise. And our Lord Jesus Christ would have to return, because the Antichrist would want to take control of Jerusalem and the whole world. And Israel would be sorely persecuted. Verse 9 of our text. It says here, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Indeed, Christians have been hated. The Jews have been hated throughout human history. What is the common denominator there? It is that they worship the living and true God. And the Lord warns his disciples, and he warns us through these words, to expect fierce persecution. A time will come when the followers of Christ will be hated by all nations because we identify ourselves as Christians. And church history tells us that the early Christians were persecuted for their faith at the hands of both the Jews and then the Romans, who controlled much of the land whereby early Christianity was distributed. Remember, we said that in the first 300 years after the ascension of Christ, the number of Christians proliferated from 50 to 75 million. What is all this? Well, these are men and women who have found the way to eternal life. Heaven and hell difference, you know. And they understood because God opened their spiritual eyes to see. And the evil one is not so happy that Christians, that men and women are snatched from the fires of eternal judgment to enter the eternal bliss of heaven. And so this is the contention that we are talking about. And that's why this grievous persecution is being predicted by our Lord. And indeed, these persecutions took place. Christians were severely persecuted by Nero, the Caesar of Rome, in the early days after Christ's ascension. There was a fire that was set in Rome that caused much devastation. And the blame was placed upon the Christians. And so a great persecution took place, and the Christians had to hide in caves. You know, there are a lot of today findings of tunnels, right, whereby Christians would write, you know, on these tunnels where they hid themselves because of severe persecution. And all this take place until the 4th century, when Christianity was legalized by the Edict of Milan, whereby it became a church state of the Roman Empire. And we see in the next 1,000 years, there was a deterioration of the faith, right, which we call the Dark Ages, leading up to the 16th century Protestant Reformation. We are going to remember the Reformation in 2 weeks' time. Very significant event, because the Bible, the Word of God, was given into the hands of the common people so that they may find salvation when they receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And we thank God that the church was delivered from the papacy 400 years ago. Great persecution. Many died for their faith. And in the 20th century, just the last 100 years, we have seen even greater persecution of churches, of Jews. You know, in the Second World War, some Christian churches were persecuted in Germany for resisting Nazi theology. And Hitler expressed a desire to destroy the influence of Christian churches within the Third Reich. It's very interesting when Hitler came to power, how he transported the seat of Satan that was in Pergamos that you see reading the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2, and transferred it all the way to Berlin in Germany. And there he began the systematic extermination of the people of God. He is a type of the Antichrist. But the Word of God tells us that there is a greater dictator that would come, and he would be far worse than Hitler. And the Lord wants us to be aware, to be prepared. Now we are sitting in the comforts of this auditorium. We don't know what is persecution. But when it comes, then each one of us would have to make a decision whether we would stand for Jesus Christ. And if we do, it can mean that we may have to lose our lives as a result of our faith. And so the Lord is telling us that the persecution will be that fierce. They shall deliver you up, verse 9 says, to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, for my name's sake. Jesus says, rejoice. Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. To be counted worthy. But how to rejoice in the time of persecution? That is a question that the Lord wants us to consider and think about. Because it could be in our generation that all this would come to pass, and you would want to be prepared. And then shall many be offended, verse 10 says, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You see, when perils come, when you are hungry, that's when you find that the instincts of the body can take over the convictions of the heart. And that's where we have to be prepared in our hearts, right? Like Daniel's three friends who would be willing to go into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. So there would be betrayal, there would be hatred, there would be offense because of the faith. And we thank God that He has given to us these years of peace so that we can spend time to know God's Word and to prepare ourselves for the time to come. And the Lord tells us from verses 11 to 13 that there would be prevalent apostasy and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I have given to each of you a copy of the 20th century, a guide to 20th century apostasy, giving you by the year how men and women had renounced their faith, fallen away from the faith. This is taken from excerpts from the Way of Life literature by David Clout that was compiled a number of years ago by our pastoral advisor, Reverend Dr. To Siang Hua. And it tells us of this falling away that is taking place, whereby there would be many voices within Christendom, outside Christendom, that would crowd your mind from worshipping and following the true Christ. And so the Lord wants us to be prepared. And if you would take time to see that indeed there has been a great proliferation of a turning away from the faith. That's what the word apostasy means. And verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." What is happening in the last days leading to the coming of the Lord? Well, sin would abound. That's the meaning of the word iniquity. That is the meaning of the word there that means a bending, right? Bending of or outworking of a person's life in crooked ways. That's the meaning of the word iniquity. As we have said, three words to represent sin. Sin itself, missing the mark, transgression, a rebellion against God, and this word iniquity, the outworking of a perverted or perverse life, a crooked life. Right? So it says here that iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. Right? Because there's so much evil all around. It's difficult to want to be good. And that's the word agape, agape love. Because, and this is the first occurrence of the word in the New Testament, this love is what we call biblical love, the unfeigned sacrificial love for our brethren. And it can only come when we are born again. The Holy Spirit come and indwell us. Romans 5 tells us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts to give us this love, that we may be able to love others. You know, this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It's not something that we can produce on our own. It's a heavenly gift from God when we endeavor to live holy lives. And God gives to us that love to love other people, the people around us. And the Lord tells us that we are to keep that love strong, aflame. You know, the church in Ephesus had one, Jesus had one indictment against them, that they lost their first love. Right? Their love for God became cold. And the Lord wants us to realize that because of the proliferation of evil around us, right, not many would choose to walk the straight way, through the straight gate. Just like the time before Noah's flood. Remember, the Lord says the hearts of men was continually evil. Genesis chapter 6. Continually evil. How to live in such an environment? Well, the Lord tells us that the time prior to His coming again, you would see this same phenomena taking place. And the Lord wants us to be prepared. He wants us to cultivate our own spiritual life, our life for the Lord, that it may be strong. Verse 13 says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." The mark of a true Christian is the strength to stand for Christ, to persevere in the faith, to not give up, to overcome. Where does that overcoming power come? Where does it come from? Well, it's the Spirit of God who gives us this power when we surrender and consecrate our lives to God. "But he that shall endure unto the end." So you would have to, what? Endure. Endure hardness, Paul said to Timothy. It would be tough. There would be many factors that would pull you away from coming for prayer meeting, for coming for worship. These are the times when you can strengthen your faith. From coming for retreat, from coming for church camp, for cottage meeting, for Bible study. The true Christians, verse 13 says, will have the strength from God to keep trusting God, and God would deliver them through this difficult time of persecution. And thirdly, verse 14, global gospel outreach. We shall see the sign of the extension of the gospel to all the world. If you study the book of Acts, you would see how the gospel went west, right? Paul went in his missionary journeys, right, through the Macedonian call to go into Europe. And so the gospel went west. And we know how, you know, Europe is a stronghold for Christianity when it began, the faith began, and how it came to America because of great persecution that took place in Europe, and how America rose as a Christian nation, and how they sent out missionaries. In the last 100 years, we see the proliferation of missions, the preaching of the gospel. We have William Carey, 1761 to 1854, missionary to India. He is the father of modern missions. Then we have the Adoniram Jackson, 1788 to 1850. Missionary to Burma. Huxon Taylor, 1832 to 1905, to China. And you see also the Americans sending missionaries here to Singapore, whereby we receive our faith. And we see also in America how God raised the man John Gresham Machen in a time when the church was imbibing modern principles, worldly principles, how they creep into the church. And Christ was totally rejected, the Bible, the gospel itself. And the Lord wants us to see, right, all this coming together. And you would also see how today, China, in the last 20 years, has there has been a revival in the nation of China. How there are so many Christians now there in China. And how the Chinese are also sending missionaries. Missionaries to the Middle East as they build ports, as they build many of the infrastructures, right, men and women of the faith going to these Middle East countries, and how you see the gospel work moving in. Well, you see how with modern communications, the access of the gospel throughout the world at a click of a button, and how modernization, right, in the last 50 years or so allow instant communication. We speak here and the other side of the world, they would be able to instantly received. And how today we are seeing, right, the setting up of satellites, you know, satellites that is able to beam through large regions so that they would have great access to the internet, African nations. And how the gospel would be preached with modern transport. You can fly to the uttermost part of the world within 24 hours. And with this peace that we have experienced in the last 60, 70 years, you see the gospel by men who mean business for the Lord, going out to share the word of God. And so, as you read and see these signs before us, you would be able to come to a realization, right, that indeed we are moving head on to the kingdom of the Antichrist. And the time is coming when the Lord will have to come. You see the 7-year tribulation period just before the rapture of the church. This is the time when the Antichrist would arise. And if we are nearing the time of the coming of Christ to take the church away, then you would find that we are nearing the time when the Antichrist would have to arise. And we are seeing these before our eyes, the development of world events. And the Lord wants us to open our eyes, search the scriptures, so that we may see and realize the grave times that we are living in, and how each one of us has a mandate to serve God with whatever strength that we have, with whatever resources that God has endowed us with, to pray, not just for ourselves, but the people around us, our loved ones, beginning there, and then beyond. May God help us to prepare so that there would not be regrets Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for showing to us the signs leading to Thy coming again. Lord, we understand the coming or the proliferation of international conflicts, of natural disasters, of earthquakes, of pestilences, of famines, of apostasy. O Lord, of the gospel going to the uttermost parts of the world, may Thou be merciful to Thy people and help us not to indulge in the things of this world, to build barns and tear down barns, but to live like an Enoch, to live like a Noah during these times where we see the day of reckoning coming. Lord, may Thy people be found faithful. May souls be won unto Thy eternal kingdom because we have cared. And because You have cared and sent Your Son to save us. And Lord, help us to be willing to give that message to the people around us. Help us to see the preciousness of the eternal soul and the prospect of eternal fire of judgment in hell. Oh Lord, help us to understand and know the truth and be willing to submit to it. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.